This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all. Happy, happy Tuesday, right? I swear, it's like I enter some vortex when I come to the studio and I'm like, what day is it? I'll tell you why sometimes I'm not 100% focused, because Dr. D rolls into wherever he rolls into, and all of a sudden everyone wants some free therapy and advice, and it's like I get flooded sometimes. Every like 5 feet, someone's like, yo, can I just ask you something? And I have, you know, again, trust me when I tell you I'm good with my boundaries. I've gotten real good at being like, yeah, no, sorry, can't help you right now. But every now and then I'm like, okay.
I'll listen.
People just think it's not that big of a deal, but it is. Imagine whatever work you do, if people were stopping you at dinner parties and Whole Foods and just real quick wanted a haircut, or real quick wanted you to look at their form, or real quick wanted you to tell them, like, you know, if they have a cavity and what kind of oral care they need. Like, you know, it's a certain lens or part of our brain or psyche that we like segue into. And so It's depleting, especially when you've been in that mindset all day. And it's also depleting to really powerfully and authentically and vulnerably like sit with another person and try to be present with what they're saying. So anyway, hug all the therapists in your life, because that's basically what's happening over there. Producer Jeffrey's got something going on over there. Okay, question of the night is up on our Love That IG page. Today's question is, what's your best or worst makeup sex story? I know. I'm curious to hear about what some of the worst ones are, because usually makeup sex is something that we really prioritize in our culture, right? And we see it as sometimes the best sex you might have in your relationship. Sorry to hear about it, because my sex is always good. But anyway, no laughs. Okay, yikes. Tough audience in the studio tonight. No funnies, apparently. Apparently we're not allowed to laugh at work.
What?
Yeah, that's right. All right, so that's our question tonight. Later in the show, we got Ryan Sheldon joining us, body neutrality activist, and we'll be talking about body pos stuff, which is such a big umbrella title, and so much falls under it. So we'll be talking about all that. And I'm doing some freak on the streets. Valentine's Day. So, you know, every day leading up, we're kind of keeping you in the loop, the good, the bad, the ugly. This organization is one that a lot of people are familiar with, and they're definitely getting really hit hard because it's Valentine's Day soon. So for those that aren't familiar, there's a company. And I can't say it on air, but it's basically essentially eat a penis, translate that into eat a D. And what they'll do is throughout the year, if you want someone to, you know, you want to tell someone to essentially flip them off, you can anonymously send them a bag of gummy penises, and it says someone wants you to go eat a penis. You know, it's a way to flip someone off. That's a lot of time and effort that you want to like take the time and money and have someone send a bag of gummy penises to tell them to go eat one. Anyway, well done. Nonetheless, well, Valentine's Day, you get chocolate ones, because, you know, Valentine's Day is associated with chocolates. You can send someone them anonymously. Why anonymously, though? You know, it's Valentine's Day. Wouldn't it be sent from a place of care? Y'all can send me some, as long as it's non-dairy dark chocolate. You can send me as many as you want. I'm looking at a picture of one. That's a really, really big chocolate penis.
That's big.
Like, I'm be chewing on that for days. Someone please send me a... Oh, they do! The article says, did we mention this chocolate is vegan? Each chocolate penis is a realistic-looking dong that measures the average size 5 inches in length. This one looks like a monster. Anyway... I'm happy. It's only $20. Send them to the radio station, care of Channel Q at Entercom in Los Angeles, Dr. D, chocolate penises. I love it. I'm down. Sticking with the conversation around penises, a group of doctors, an organization that I am a big fan of, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Phenomenal work. Led one of them is Neil Bernard, who's really well respected in holistic healthcare. They've filed a petition to the FDA to require that erectile dysfunction drugs that on their label they recommend a plant-based diet. Why? We know plant-based diets going vegan can cure heart disease. Now, erectile dysfunction is, if they truly have a physical dysfunction, it's caused by artery disease. And ED drugs like Viagra does not improve that. It just bypasses that. And so moderate exercise, stress management, getting rid of smoking, all these things can improve or reverse heart disease. We also know that a plant-based diet can as well, and they want that linked. I think that's stunning and beautiful. I'm here for that. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff in trans news. There's a lot of powerful things that happened this week and today. We're going to be covering all that. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is, what's your best or worst makeup sex story? Ooh. Yeah, I'm trying to imagine what the worst ones are going to sound like. I don't know. We're going to find out, though. Also, then we'll be sliding in those DMs. The DMs come from our Loveline IG page. So if you want your question answered on air, slide into the DMs over there and we will do so. But you can also always give us a call. 833-LOVE-001. 833-LOVE-001. Ask us questions. Also weigh in on our topics of the night. And later in the show, we got Ryan Sheldon joining us. He is a body neutrality activist, and we'll be talking about some body positivity stuff. Always good. All right, so lots going on in trans rights and news, and this is phenomenal. I love when I have a day full of all positive things. Right off the top, Starbucks. They got the bar high. Y'all listen up. Employers, corporations, Starbucks is going to pay for all transgendered staff's surgeries. Now, this has not been done before, and they are going to offer comprehensive care for transgender employees, and that will cover things that have historically been excluded by most insurance plans. So, whereas they had already been covering bottom surgery, they will now cover all other medical steps. This is profound. This is a mental health issue. This is a human rights issue. So they're going to cover procedures that were once considered just cosmetic. As what that will mean is top surgery, and that could mean breast reduction or augmentation. They will cover hair removal or the possibility of transplants, and also facial feminization surgery. So basically, the coffee chain is going to help trans employees find appropriate doctors and healthcare providers as well. I mean, talk about really stepping into the role of ally. That's what allyship looks like, where you actively try to help resources and inclusivity. Starbucks had covered bottom surgery starting in 2012, and like I said, now they're going to expand that. Ron Crawford, the vice president of benefits at Starbucks, said the approach was driven not just by the company's desire to provide truly inclusive coverage, but also by powerful conversations with transgender partners about how those benefits would allow them to truly be who they are. This is stunning. Now, what's also powerful is they went and worked with WPATH, which is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, and they said to them, look, we want to be more available and inclusive for our transgender employees. What should we do? And so they worked together with this organization to figure out what truly comprehensive care would look like. Someone from WPATH who worked with Starbucks said Starbucks was not afraid to ask all the right questions and demand that people get the best possible care. Oh, that's how it's done, y'all. Step up your game. Okay. Moving forward, this is adorable. Classmates surprised a trans teen with money to legally change his name. Why is that meaningful? Because, excuse me, to legally change your name, it's cost prohibitive for some people. It's not free. Basically, you have to petition the court, so there's filing fees, because God forbid anyone just do their job and things be free. I don't know why I got to pay for someone to stand there and file things that they're paid for. But nonetheless, in addition to that, there's cost to get new documents, things like passports, driver's license. These things aren't cheap. They're not quick and easy. So let's take a little clip, listen to a clip, of the trans teen getting surprised by his fellow classmates who would raise money for their name change.
Kind of.
What?
So, like, since you're like a legal adult, I kind of raise enough money
for you to change your name.
Okay, you couldn't really hear much, but you could hear the excitement. We have it on our website. We are channelq.com. It's an adorable video because essentially he rolls into class. They surprise him. He is not expecting what's coming next. And they approach him and say, we raise money to help you get your name changed because now you're, you know, of legal age or 18. And of course, he's just like, you know, floored because That's not typical. We're used to watching videos of people harassing anyone who's different, you know? So that's amazing. And then finally, Dwayne Wade, who is an NBA legend. I'm not really familiar with him, but I guess he plays basketball. Congrats. That's awesome. Him and his wife, Gabrielle Union, who's an actress, love her. Their child has come out not only as a trans female, but also now has given her name, Zaya. And let's listen to Zaya's father, Dwayne Wade, on The Ellen Show talking about coming out.
Once Zaya, 12-year-old, came home, first Zion, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, Zion born as a boy, came home and said, hey, so I want to talk to you guys. You know, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya. And so internally, now is our job to, one, go out and get information to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self.
Now that is what great parenting sounds like. We support who our child is, not who we want our child to be, because guess what? It's not about you as parents. Your job is to help your child evolve into who they are. That's awesome stuff. Warms my heart. Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little Freak on the Streets. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is about makeup sex. What's your best and worst story? But right now, it is time for some Freak on the Streets.
Freak on the Streets.
All right, what you got?
Hi, I recently got fired from my job. Oof. I feel like they weren't helping me and giving me a reason why. I feel it's just completely shady corporate culture. Do you have any advice? Anything helps?
Oh, man. I'm not really sure you want help around. Yeah, corporate culture is rough. A corporation's number one job is to keep itself sustainable. It's to sustain itself. It's not to look out for the employees. That's what's unfortunate. And so it looks out for itself. We've talked about this a little bit where, you know, an example of that is how corporate cultures will say things like, oh, you know, got to give 2 weeks notice. That's out of respect or whatever, but they'll fire you on the fly. So it's not reciprocated respect. And we know that the more an employee feels cared for by their company, the harder they're going to work because they actually feel like they're part of the system. But unfortunately, a lot of people feel like they're treated as though they're disposable and they don't matter. And for a lot of the cases, that is actually true. So you got to be very cautious when working in certain systems and institutions, because again, they could very quickly get rid of you if there's someone else or someone better that can do the job. So I don't have any advice for you. That's just how the system works. The system's doing its job. So for those that don't feel as though they can sign up for something like that and can't handle that kind of anxiety, you essentially have to find a job where you have more power, control, leadership, or work for yourself. But I'm sorry that that happened. That's very unfortunate because we're not always aware that that's coming. And so we can't necessarily financially or otherwise prepare for the downfall after being let go. So I wish employers and companies would actually give a heads up. I think they should be held accountable to like a 2 weeks notice as well, so you can prepare yourself. Sorry about that. What else you got?
Hi there. I'm going out of the country where they don't 100% accept queer people. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone to keep others comfortable, but I don't know if it's going to be hard. Do you have any advice?
Depends where you're going. Some places it's not safe. It's actually illegal. And I would say absolutely do not lead with your illegal identity. I think that risk isn't worth it. I don't know that every trip has to involve something that really speaks to your gay identity. And in, again, some cultures and countries, there's no way to express yourself. But I don't know that every trip has to. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking of trips I've taken, and often my sexual desires or interests never came into play because I was going away to like read and lay on a beach. And so I don't know where that might show up. So outside of maybe trying to hook up or go to a bar, I can understand where that can be part of some people's trips. Be very thoughtful. There's some apps that people in those countries will use against people. They'll go on there to see who is gay and victimize them. So just be very thoughtful. Try to be very safe. And take care of yourself, but just maybe plan your trip outside of that. I don't know. I couldn't personally travel to a place where I couldn't feel safe being myself. So I'd maybe advise against not going there, go somewhere else. I'd be worried about their other rules or laws, but I don't know where you're going. And I'm not familiar with every country's legalities around this, but look into them before you go. I think anyone traveling to a foreign country should look at the laws there and understand what that means so that you don't fall victim to something that you weren't aware of, because America's America. Everywhere does not have the same rules, you know? All right, yeah, take care of yourself, man. Good luck with that. All right, coming up next, Ryan Sheldon will be joining us for some body pause and then question of the night. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Damn, y'all, you have no idea. I got all the producers coming for me tonight. No. Man, I can't catch a break. I'm just over here trying to heal the world and drop some gems, and y'all be on my back.
We support you always.
Mm-hmm. Nothing but love in this studio. Nothing but love in this studio. All right, so it's time for the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore it with confidence. Here we go. My boyfriend is currently deployed and will be coming home in early March. That's great. Last week, I told him that I wanted to celebrate Valentine's Day, to which he told me no, because he would not be able to receive any mail. I told him that I was not planning on shipping anything. His response was, give up. I don't do Valentine's Day. I can give you references for a lot of other disappointed ladies. Wow. I explained that I had only planned on buying lingerie and sending photos or something fun and sexy, which he told me to still do, but I'm really offended about how he handled the situation and referencing other women in such a weird and rude way. Do you think this is an appropriate way to treat your partner? How can I get him to see that his words and behavior were hurtful? I have 1,000 thoughts. I don't know what it's like to be deployed. I don't know where he's deployed to, but I'm imagining the horrible conditions, the anxiety, the fear, and the stress of being in another foreign country in a war zone. So yeah, give him a break. Because although give up, I don't do Valentine's Day, I can give a reference to a lot of disappointed ladies, is not the kindest thing to hear. I would say you got to right size a little bit. It wasn't kind what he said, but like, again, the guy's overseas fighting a battle, like legit, literally is. Calm down a little bit. You got to give him a little bit of a break. You really do. So how do I get him to see his words were hurtful? I'm going to assume he does, because if he's so detached from compassion that he doesn't, you have a larger problem. So let's assume that it was a one-off. I'm going to assume that he doesn't always say this. So no, don't talk to your partner like that. Be more loving and caring. But again, I want to contextualize it. It's not like, you know, he was at his local office on his lunch break and said that, you know, context matters. But I'd say, you know, yeah, let it go. He might be feeling bad being that far away. He might not be in the mood to celebrate. Honor that. It's not that deep. But yeah, I don't think that was very loving. So yes, a conversation can be had at some point where you could say, yeah, I can't imagine what kind of stresses you're going through over there. But, you know, when you can, do your best to be loving, you know? All right. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. And we want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, Ryan Sheldon will be joining us for some body positivity. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's questions about makeup sex. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about makeup sex, and I'm like, I'm not that familiar with it. I think sex is just so present that I can't separate out what's makeup sex and what's non-makeup sex. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense. Anyway, we'll talk more about it question of the night. Yeah. Anyway, Ryan Sheldon, body neutrality activist, is with us.
What's wrong with being confident?
That's right, boo. What's up? Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
What have you been up to?
Well, I turned 32.
Bum, ba, da, bum, ba, da, bum, bum, bum.
I'm getting old.
Like a fine wine, only getting better.
Better with age.
I think I do. I don't want to go backwards ever. Every year, I'm liking the progress. If you focus your life on working towards all the things you want, that's what that becomes about.
Yeah, it's so strange. When I turned 30, I swear that my life just kind of got significantly better.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. But that's a sign that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Because, and again, this isn't to shame where anyone's at, but try to process this. You want to be able to look back and feel good about the path you're on. Yep. And so if you're feeling bad about aging, maybe explore the possibility that it's because you're not centering your life in what you want to do, thereby not having a lot of meaning and value in where you are.
100%. I think people get really terrified about aging. And I think aging is this beautiful thing. I mean, it's like the one thing that we all have in common. We're all going to die and we're all going to get older.
But that's a powerful perspective, because my colleague just passed from cancer yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And so aging is, I was saying this on the air, I think last week, aging is something that you're gifted. Not everyone gets to age.
Yeah.
People die at birth, at 4, at 14, at 30. And so the fact that you get to live multiple decades, like, you're welcome. Like, that's really great.
I'm extremely grateful.
And also, Mr. Ryan Sheldon.
Yes.
You know, you've rooted your life in some really meaningful, valuable things. And so, like, look around at all you've accomplished.
I know. It feels really great to see what I've gotten done in the past couple of years. It's very, very proud of myself.
See what I do as a good friend? I sit here and validate.
No,
validate.
When I turned 32.
It's like I'm at the office. Just validate.
I love validation.
I validate you.
I try to find it within the other
I validate. External I validate.
Factors.
Anyway, continue. What were you saying?
When I turned 32, I wrote down everything that I accomplished as when I was 31, and it was like, it was unbelievable because I never really put it all down on paper, and I was like, oh gosh, I've done a lot.
And congrats, it's beautiful.
Thank
continue
you.
To do that. Those that can't say that, start to say to yourself, like, I want to be able to look at a legacy, and I want my time to be rooted in something. And not everyone, like me and Ryan, gets to have a career that's rooted in our mission statement or something powerful in the world, but you can find that in secondary and tertiary means.
100%.
Okay, now, let's get to some juice.
Let's do it.
Because apparently, Ryan, hashtag validate, I'm going to validate you.
Thank you. You
had a birthday. Your birthday party was Friday.
It was.
I was not able to attend.
I invited you. You didn't even show up. You didn't text me.
You literally have no idea how difficult it is to get Dr. D to attend in anything. Like, it's a feat. It's quite a feat.
Lesson learned.
I know. And I'm not drinking, and so it's even harder to get me to anything involving alcohol.
Makes sense.
Especially if it's after 7 p.m.
I won't shame you.
Can you please have your party next year at 9 a.m.?
I will. And you didn't even
I'll be
show
there.
Up.
Well, Jeffrey's a hot mess. He was probably doing God knows what, because he's always doing something. That's not shade.
He's not even denying it.
You're always up to somethings. Either, you know what I mean? Like, you get in trouble. But more importantly,
yes.
So you had your party Friday night.
Yep.
And then you went, well, you tell the story, but you had a very profound moment that ties into body positivity.
And I know that I'm like really dramatic and all these things. And plus I was drinking, which makes it even a little bit more dramatic. But
so, wow, what a setup to your story. Everyone's already like, we're over it.
No, don't be over it because
okay.
It's good.
Sorry.
So we went out. And then after our night out, my friends met some guys, and we ended up going back to their place.
The after party.
The after party.
And is there an after party party? After party?
Me
we keep that
in
rolling.
Tears. Oh, no. Essentially, we went over, and everybody was having fun, and then everybody kind of left, and it was only like six of us left. It was four of my friends, myself, and then this guy whose house we were at. The guy whose house we were at was probably around 45.
I love stories like that. The guy whose house we're at. Everyone has a story. We're at some dude's house, and everyone's like, "But who knew him? How'd you get there?" Nobody knows.
We didn't know him. We don't even know how we got there.
Okay.
And it was two of my friends. The guy was in the middle of two of my friends, and across from him was me and my two friends. And he is married to a woman.
Is this relevant?
Yes, actually, it is relevant. He's married with a child, and he was sitting there saying how he explores with men, and I was like, awesome,
well
good
done.
For you, and his wife is very aware of it.
That's going to be me.
Awesome. Good, more power to you. And
my wife and child are in bed.
And basically, we were sitting there, and he said that he only hooks up with guys that look like himself.
Which automatically begs the question, if someone says that to me, I'd be like, who are you? How are you that you want you?
Right.
Are we talking age, height, weight,
so
race,
I asked him, and
class?
I said, so just to clarify, you only hook up with people that look like yourself, meaning your physical appearance, your six-pack, because he showed us that he had a six-pack.
Oh, that's the icing on that cake. Right?
And he said yes. And as soon as I said that, my two friends that were sitting next to him freaked out. Ryan, how could you say that? How could you say that? And it
say what?
How could you say that he only hooks up with people that
look... is it that they heard you say other than repeating back with
I don't really necessarily know, because all I said was, I just repeated what he said, but it's almost as if they heard it differently when I said it, because when he said it, it was one thing. And then when I said it, being a guy in a larger body, maybe it was like, it rang different to them.
You know what hurts me though, is I think that your friends, correct me, because I don't know them, but, they're used to hearing statements like that. And I don't think it shocks people like it does for me and you.
Well, for some reason it shocked them when I said it.
It did. It did. Because there's something about having it held up and you accountable to it,
yeah.
Where people are a little too comfortable. And I think part of it's from hookup culture and online dating culture. People are really comfortable with people listing all these body demands. Like,
yeah.
We're a little too comfortable with it, and we shouldn't be. And so I think when someone says, oh, I only hook up with people that are, you know, gym bodied, everyone's like, well, of course. And it's like, no, not of course. But I think they're familiar with that. And then you actually circle back and highlight, and they're like, whoa, too far,
I just
man,
repeated exactly what he said.
Accountability's rough. That's, you know, look, I think what he said is problematic, because I'll go back to what I've said about these online apps. You don't need to flaunt what you're attracted to, because as this case points to, you are possibly just triggering people and making them feel bad. And basically, you're calling out your bigotry and prejudice. And you don't
also
need to do
how
that.
How offensive.
And you know what you just said? Not on my birthday.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q. What's wrong with being
confident? All right. Working for that audio. Question of the night's up on our Love Line G page. What's your best or worst makeup sex story? Y'all make them good. All right.
Juicy.
I know, right? We get juicy here on Love Line. We go there. Okay, so we got Ryan Sheldon with us, body neutrality expert, activist, all things body. Body moving. Okay, so body. Before the break, Ryan was telling a story about, and I love these. I like real life anecdotes because I think we can all learn a lot and relate to these things. So Ryan was telling us about his birthday party and how they ended up at someone's home, and the individual at their home was like, "Here, look at my six-pack abs." And we're all like, "That's cool, man. Well done." And he's like, "Yeah, well, I only have sex and date people that look like me." And then what happened?
Thanks for the good recap. And then I said, so let me get this straight. Just to understand, you only hook up with people that look like you, meaning that have a six pack. And he said, yes. And as soon as I said that, my two friends that were sitting opposite of him or next to him went, "Ryan, how could you say that? Oh my God, how could you say that?" I was shocked because I literally just repeated what he said. And when That's he right. said it, it was totally fine. When I said it, it was this big thing. So it's almost like my friends heard it differently when I said it.
When he said it, he was just being honest. When you said it, you were being rude. That's what they were
That's exactly.
It as,
yes.
what I, and we're going to unpack this, but I want you to land the airplane.
So I literally stood up and I said, "I'm leaving." And I got up and I left with two of my other friends. And the bottom line is I felt body shamed. I got emotional.
Because you were what? Body shamed. See, what people will swoop in and say when they'll say things like, "I only have sex with white people." I'm like, okay, you congrats. You're allowed to have whatever kind of sex you want to have. But what we do about our preferences is where we fall into trouble and where we're either leading with care and compassion or we're being very prejudicial and bigoted. Because please don't think, everyone listening, that the things you're aroused by or turned on by are just a random haphazard thing that you land in. You are very much the product of our cultural norms and values and ideals. You internalize them. They also get reinforced based on the porn you're watching, the kind of people you're friends with, right. what the world is flagging in front of you saying this is what's attractive and what you should want. So we're all trapped in that. So person who owns his home who only has sex with people with six packs, keep it to yourself. You don't need to make a sweeping statement to a room full of all different kinds of bodies and make people sit there going, "Oh, I'm supposed to feel unattractive. Thanks for pointing that out."
Yeah, I don't have a six pack, and this guy is telling me he only sleeps with people. By no means was I trying to sleep with him also, but what pissed me off even more is that my friends were okay with him saying that, him shaming me versus me just calling him out, and not even calling him out, just repeating what he said.
It happens like that. It's what we call in therapy. Well, the person that's often the problem child of the problem person is usually actually the person who's most honest and healthy, and they're calling things out, but people don't want things called out. So it's easier to be like, "Ryan, you're being rude. We're in someone's home," versus, "Oh, hello, honest man." Because you know what we also do culturally? Yeah. We over-idealize this concept of, as long as you say, if you say something problematic, as long as you end it with, "I'm just being honest," we're like, "Oh, well, then it's okay."
Right, right.
It doesn't matter how it impacts people or the harm done. And so what I want people to learn from the story is, have your preferences, but when you're in a room full of people, you don't have to be like, "Oh, you have sex with white people." So everyone of color can be like, "Oh, thank you for throwing sexual racism in my face and reminding me that exists." And you don't have to say, "I only have sex with gym bodies," because people that don't have one don't need to be questioning their desirability or feel bad in the moment. It's just
and it was my birthday on top of everything too. And I was just so I left and cried.
Did you in my mind you were standing with your little balloon and the balloon slowly deflated?
You want to hear rude? I was rude when I walked out.
Well,
I was pissed.
We don't support that.
I wasn't rude. I was just like, "I'm leaving," and I was dramatic and I stormed off.
We don't support that part. But I do support you setting a boundary and saying, like, "This is not a healthy environment. Yep. I'm going to go because the host of this house just told me that my body isn't desirable to him and I don't need to be
And you
here.
Know what? My two friends that I left with were like, "Good for you for standing up for yourself."
Yeah, right? But the other two who didn't stay...
They ended
who
up
didn't leave. Who stayed? They had gym bodies.
They had gym bodies, and they ended up having a threesome.
I'd like to think that if I was there, I would have left with you.
Would you have though? Would you have?
It's like, but what did the other three look like?
Not as cute as me. Not as cute as me.
Because every now and then, if you're real hungry or thirsty, you got to stick around for the food.
Fair. Fair. But like, I don't associate people with
I'm kidding. That kills my arousal. It really does.
100%.
I can't have sex with problematic people. Because it feels against my integrity, my value system, and more importantly, I don't believe in these words, but I don't know how else to explain it. I don't want to be around that energy and have it absorbed.
I was so offended by this that like I haven't even talked to my friends since that, like the to that state.
I would say this. So we'll drop some more gems on everyone listening. Always be open to doing some level of repair because I want everyone to be given the opportunity to learn and apologize. So I would say anyone who's in front of me, no matter who did what, I always say you're responsible for repairing. And so you're sitting in front of me, not your friend. So I'll say, Ryan, you are. And so I would reach out, say, hey guys, you're my friends. You mean a lot to me. I want to talk about what happened. And if they're apologetic and accountable and we'll talk about how to do better next, we welcome them back in. And if not, you learned a lot about them. You do not like my answer. Ryan's like, stop being a therapist in this moment.
Yeah. But stop therapizing me.
I'm sorry that happened. I mean,
no, it's okay. It's all good. Hey, I mean, that's, yeah, that is what it is.
Okay. Well, you have something exciting coming up soon. Do you want to tell us quickly about that?
I do. Yeah. So there's a new series coming out on Snapchat. Ooh. And it is about mental health, and I am on it, and it's
can't wait.
Apparently they think the world is gonna be really entertained by my dating life, so it's follows.
I it's never boring.
No, but they bring up a good point. It's like I'm a bigger gay man dating in Los Angeles, so it's just like all of these factors coming in.
It's all an oxymoron.
Yeah, and there's nothing out there showcasing that aspect of it. How challenging it is.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm a pretty fun person to date, but now the whole world gets to see it.
I'm into it. I can't wait. Yeah. All right. Thanks for that. Where can people find you?
At Real Ryan Sheldon on Instagram.
Coming up next, question of the night, and they'll be sliding into those DMs listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. Ryan Sheldon's still with us, so he's going to help us do the question of the night. Tonight's question of the night is, what is your best or worst makeup sex story? Ryan, what is your best or worst?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so they kind of go in hand in hand,
FCC
right?
FCC guidelines.
Yep. So I got cheated on, and it was pretty brutal. Anyway, I then had sex with him, and it was the best sex ever because it was hate sex.
Yeah.
I associated passion with hatred.
Passion is passion is passion is passion.
And I just didn't care.
Depending if it's coming from hatred or love, it's passion.
It felt good.
It's
I still
power.
Think about it.
Yeah. I ain't mad at that. What'd y'all say? Someone said, she got mad. Again, we made up. Again, we banged. Again, the end. Wow, I just hear like that cycle that someone needs to step off of because it's a lot of agains. But I understand. Someone else said, my boyfriend and I had makeup sex in a McDonald's parking lot. It was hot until we got caught. Yeah, look, y'all got to be real careful because public nudity and public sex can fall under sex offending laws. Y'all got to be real careful.
I had sex in a Prius in a Yogurtland parking lot once. It was great.
There you go.
But we didn't get caught.
And you also got to eat some yogurt.
And it might have been more fun if we did get caught.
Thank you. Okay. Someone else said, as far as the worst or best makeup sex story, had the best sex of my life after my ex disclosed he cheated. Is this Ryan Sheldon's story? Is he writing this in?
No,
this is someone
in the
else.
DMs.
Someone else said that my ex boy toy wanted to make up with me and lasted a whole 2 minutes and then rolled over and went to sleep. Well, that is because you are such fire that he was at such a high level of arousal because of your beauty that he just couldn't hang in there any longer. It's a compliment. Someone else said, I tried to have makeup sex with an ex once, but while we were together, and I completely read the situation wrong and it backfired. She started screaming at me and crying, accusing me of some pretty terrible things. I've not tried makeup sex with anyone since. Yeah, I can see that.
Yikes.
Gone wrong.
Yeah, you gotta kind of disassociate yourself with the person.
Somebody else said, I had makeup sex with a girl after finding out she cheated on me, and it was amazing. Okay. She ended up giving me an STD though, so it didn't end great, needless to say.
So why is that though? Why are we attracted? Like, why is makeup, like, when someone cheats on you and you have sex with them after, is mm-hmm. that the best sex?
Because your brain isn't able to suss out what these different levels of stimulation are. Mm-hmm. And our brain is just registering, I can't speak tonight, passion, high arousal, and all those things are just centered around stimulation and stimulation. So that's why, like, we can have a certain level of anxiety and that can also be really hot and turn us on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's about not going too high with something or too low with something. If you have too much anger or too little, it's not going to be right. But if you have just the right amount,
got it.
It can really, really pass off as arousal and passion. That's why you got to have like a full range of emotions for the people you're having sex with. Hold on. The rest of you said, my ex and I would have the most searing, hot, rough makeup sex whenever we would fight, which happened almost constantly. It felt amazing at the time, but I've since realized that the sex was hot only because the rest of our relationship was toxic, and that makeup sex is the only thing we were truly connecting and not fighting. Well said, because that's the concern, is if you have a lot of chemistry, you will have a lot of great sex. But if you're fighting a lot, you don't have compatibility, which means the sex will be great, but outside of sex, it'll constantly be a struggle and be miserable. And that's why you want compatibility and chemistry, not just chemistry.
You're just spitting words of wisdom tonight.
Someone else said, as far as their best worst makeup stories, my husband and I always have makeup sex, and it's always the best sex we get into. Usually we haven't had sex for a while, so it's always exciting, but maybe that's why we start arguing in the first place. Maybe we were just sexually frustrated. That's very possible. Y'all should see what I'm looking at right now. This whole studio is just like yawn and crickets. finally.
No, I love it.
I never felt turned on or horny after an argument. You know what? Eye rollers over there. I never feel turned on or horny after an argument. I'm way too much of an emotional person. So anytime someone tries to have makeup sex with me, it ends up going badly because I refuse to suck it up and go through it, even though I've forgiven the person. Yeah, wow. Don't just go along with it. Makeup sex is not for everyone. Some people are like, look, I feel disconnected. I feel unsafe. I'm not interested. Y'all go do your thing without me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, question. DMs coming up next.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Dear Dr. Chris, I'm 25 years old and I work as a minion for a snobby fashion company in LA. Well, God bless you. When I say snobby, I mean we'll skip that part. Not to brag or anything, but I'm brown and queer and pretty cool, so obviously I don't fit in where I'm working and I don't want to fit in. My job is so mundane and that's how I feel here at Channel Q. I'm like, I don't want to fit in. Okay. My job is so mundane and I feel like I'm becoming a robot. I'm scared if I stay in this job, I'll forget that I'm not happy and I'll wake up still in debt and denial that I hate my life or something. I worry that if I don't find my calling, my relationship will suffer. Listen. It's a privilege for me to sit here and say, you know, don't work in jobs that don't give you value and meaning. But I would say get to as close to that as possible because I agree with you. Some people wake up and years have gone by and they've given their time, blood, sweat, and tears to a job that necessarily doesn't hold value or meaning to them. And that's a powerful central point to our lives, our identity, and also where we spend a majority of our time. So I would urge you to get as close as you can to finding something that reflects back your value system because it's really hard to be part of an institution or system that isn't aligned with our integrity and what's meaningful to us, you know? So Sign the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. We got Mr. Jared Hill with us.
Oh, that's me. Hi.
So tonight you have right after Loveline, election night in late night with Jared Hill. What can people expect?
And expect us to jump into these conversations about tonight's New Hampshire primary. It's been an interesting night as we have had some seemingly surprising results coming out of New Hampshire and discussing what those results are, how they break down, and what this means going forward for the election. So we obviously have a couple more primaries before Super Tuesday, so we're going to be breaking those things down. We've got a full lineup of panelists and guests that are going to be joining us for the next hour. Really excited about that because it's kind of an S show looking at the primary.
And quickly, give listeners, are you feeling good? Or are you feeling not so good?
I mean, health-wise, I feel delightful.
No, politically. are you liking where we're headed?
It's still very unclear. I'm very unsure on how to feel about the election as far as turnout is concerned, as far as trying to pick a candidate and watching the nation do that. It's a very unclear time right now.
Watching the nation choose a candidate is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because we're getting down to the wire.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to watch people struggle, jump ship, just be like, we're going blue, we're going blue, we're going blue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what's most interesting to me is that most voters when they're talking to them on the day of election, are saying that they've made their decision today or that they made their decision in the last couple of days, which really means that it's going to be dependent on what advertising they've seen, what debate, how they felt about the most recent and who they're seeing on television that helps them make those kinds of decisions. So it's an interesting kind of gamble to watch people make.
All right, so stick around. Coming right up after Loveline is election night in late night with Jared Hill. I'll be listening to that on my way home.
All right.
Truly. All right, y'all. Thanks for hanging out and sticking around. Coming up next is that our show is podcasted at We Are Channel. Channel channelq.com. So go there. You can listen to old episodes, binge, post, share. We'll be back tomorrow night. You'll have an awesome night. See you later.